They say that winners never quit and quitters never win, but that's not really true, is it? What if you're trying to quit a bad habit? Hi, I'm Rob West. It's not only okay to quit a bad habit, it's something we should always strive to do, especially with investing. Mark Biller joins us today with a list of bad habits you should quit if you find yourself doing them, and then it's on to your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. Questions on anything investing related, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our friend Mark Biller doesn't have any bad habits that we can see, at least. He's the executive editor at Sound Mind Investing and underwriter of this program. And Mark, great to have you back with us.
Thanks for inviting me back, Rob.
All right, Mark, you've got a great article at soundmindinvesting.org. It's called Go Ahead, Be a Quitter. We'll put a link to it in today's show notes, but I want to unpack it a bit. And why don't you start with this idea of quitting and explain why that's okay?
Sure, Rob. Well, the article is intended to be kind of lighthearted because we tend to think of quitters and quitting as being generally bad. But like you mentioned, quitting a bad thing is actually a good thing, right?
Yeah.
So the trick is really discerning which habits are good and which are bad. And that can be a challenge in the area of investing. So we picked out a half dozen things that we think are definitely in the bad camp. And so to start off that list, if you haven't already, you can immediately quit standing on the sidelines. So Albert Einstein allegedly called compound interest the eighth wonder of the world, and compound interest runs on the fuel of time. So you want all the time you can get on your side. Of course, you also want to have good returns, and based on the last 100 or so years of history, we know that the best returns have come from owning well-managed, growing businesses. So for the average person that wants to grow their surplus capital at a rate that's going to be faster than inflation, stocks have historically been the best option. So the first point we made is you want to quit standing on the sidelines and become a part owner of corporate America by buying stocks.
Yeah, that's really helpful, and I think makes a lot of sense, Mark. You know, when we talk about investing is really ownership, you know, that's a big idea, and I think something that people often miss. Let's talk about another bad habit we need to quit.
Yeah, the second one we listed, Rob, is quit waiting for a low-risk entry point. And the reason for that is it's doubtful that you're going to recognize a low-risk entry point even when one arrives. The problem that we have as investors is our capital risk is lowest when our emotional risk is highest. In other words, when things look terrible and we're scared to death, well, those are actually the best entry points, but nobody wants to invest at those points.
Sure.
So every day, in contrast to that, every day really offers a low-risk entry if you're committed to at least a five-year holding period. And so we give the numbers in the article that since World War II, if you have a diversified stock fund portfolio, it's lost money only about 5% of the time when you're looking at five-year holding periods. And over 10-year holding periods, it's even more rare to have a loss. Now, on the positive side, about one out of every six of those five-year periods saw gains of 20% or more per year. So quit waiting for a low-risk entry point and just get in the game.
Yeah, makes sense. Don't wait. Get in now. All right, I think we have time for one more quick one before the break. What else should we quit, Mark?
Yeah, the third one is quit looking for a reason to sell. It kind of goes along with the last one. You really need to ignore the constant gloom and doom scenarios from all the financial pundits. And that's because even in the best of times, there are always economic and market negatives that can scare you out of investing. The biggest risk to a person's future financial security usually isn't a near-term bear market. It's actually long-term inflation that eats away at the buying power of their dollars. And like we said, the best way historically to beat inflation has been to make a significant long-term commitment to stocks.
Yeah, and a big part of that, Mark, I guess, is being arm's length, right? In many cases, having an advisor to make those calls for you is really the key there, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely provides an emotional buffer for everybody and their individual emotions there.
Yeah, well said. Mark Biller's here today. We'll be taking your questions in just a moment. 800-525-7000. More Investing Bad Habits to Quit right around the corner.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. On this date in 1672, Pastor Richard Baxter was forced to make a difficult decision. Either join the Church of England and support all its teachings, or quit preaching altogether. And he could not support every bit of their doctrine, yet he could not stop preaching the gospel either. So Richard Baxter defied English law and continued to share eternal life with those who were perishing without Christ. It's a story much like Acts chapter 5, when the apostles were forbidden to preach Christ or risk imprisonment, and they said, "We must obey God rather than human beings." And also for us, if it ever does come down to obeying God or man, there is only one choice. Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit GetAnchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
How much control, unfortunately, the executive office does have to direct a lot of these procedures in terms of amnesty, you know, what they can do, even though Congress needs to step it up. And we know constitutionally they should be making sure that the law reflects the American position. But law enforcement is the executive branch. And if you're not enforcing the law, then the law is merely just on paper.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, my friend Mark Biller. Mark is executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can learn more at soundmindinvesting.org. While you're there, check out the article we're talking about today. It's titled, "Go Ahead, Be a Quitter." We're talking specifically about things you should quit doing related to investing. I'll recap the things you should quit here in just a moment. But first, let me mention, if you have a question on anything market-related, your investments, how to handle your 401k, what you should do after you leave your employer and head toward retirement. If you want to ask about perhaps investing strategies, how much gold is too much? And what should you think about in light of this really strong market that's been cooling off the last week or so? How should you think about investing in the year ahead? That is, and anything else investing related is in play today for Mark Biller. The number to call, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We're queuing those questions, and we'll get to them in just a moment. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Before the break, Mark was sharing about those things we should quit doing in our investing life. Quit standing on the sidelines. Quit waiting for a low-risk interest. entry point, just get in the game. And then number three, you want to quit looking for a reason to sell. And Mark, I think what a lot of people miss is that, you know, when we look at those average annual returns over the last, let's say, you know, 50, 75, 100 years on something like the S&P 500, you know, in large part, the way we get those higher average annual returns is in those years where we had a dramatic upswing, right? And so even with the down years, the big up years kind of make up for the down and then some. But so often when we try to get out, quote unquote, during a market downturn, we miss those big updrafts, don't we?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's, you know, why the counsel against market timing really, you know, has rung true for individuals, at least, you know, who tend to not do very well with those decisions. And really, Rob, it's also why so often on our programs together, when people call and ask about like annuities, you know, a lot of times in the annuity language, there will be caps on how much you can earn in a good year. And what people miss is they see a cap that maybe is 10% or 12%, and that looks like the market's long-term average return. So you think, well, that's not a bad cap. But like you just said, you don't earn those long-term returns by getting 10% every year. You're getting, you know, 2% one year and 25% the next. So if every time you have a big year, you're actually cutting that in half, you don't get those long-term compounding returns in some of those products. So that's one of the reasons that's a little tricky for people to understand sometimes, why, you know, a lot of professionals, you and I in these programs, often are a little less enthusiastic about those types of products that have those caps in them, because they really can kill your long-term compounding, or at least I shouldn't say kill it, they just squelch it, you know, in those big up years. Same thing happens coming out of those bear market bottoms, like you're saying. If you miss the first 6 months or a year of a new bull market, wow, that can really put a dent in your long-term returns.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, and the other piece is, who wants to buy at the top all the time? And, you know, the silver lining of that bear market is that we're actually able to buy more shares with less money because stocks are cheaper, right?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, what we're really getting at in this conversation, Rob, is that for most people, trying to figure out what's a good time to buy just is the wrong question. And that's why plans like people's workplace retirement plans, their 401ks and so forth, can be so valuable as a long-term wealth builder, because it turns off a lot of those questions. People set up that I'm just going to put in X amount every 2 weeks or every month, and it just builds on autopilot through these market crescendos and crashes and everything in between. And if you can avoid the temptation to, you know, mess around with those allocations and stop your contributions when you're getting scared about the market, you know, that allows these long-term compounding trends to work for you instead of these timing decisions sometimes going against you.
That's well said. Mark Biller here today, investing expert, executive editor at soundmindinvesting.org. We're going to head to the phones here, and we will get to a few more of these things you should quit doing when it comes to your investing in just a moment. If you have a question for Mark today, investing-related topics in play for this portion of the broadcast, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go out to Texas. Hi, Teresa. Thanks for your call. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks. Yes, my husband and I are retired, and we want to biblically invest. We have for years, and kind of had analysis paralysis about doing that. So we have most of our, well, pretty much all of our cash in a money market, earning, you know, just a little bit of interest. But we're trying to figure out how to, you know, capitalize on that with more. But we're a little afraid of the market, mutual funds, and again, because of the biblical responsibly investing. So we just wanted to know, is there something that you would recommend? And also, since we're retired, we want it to be safe, you know, for the most part.
Very good. A couple of questions. We'll get Mark's thoughts. How much do you have that's in money market right now?
Oh, well, and some of it is in an IRA too.
Okay.
So total, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. Probably like 625. That's
all right.
What we have.
And the portion that's in the IRA, is that in essentially the cash account as well, or is that invested?
Yep.
It's all in the cash. Money market. And then are you guys pulling anything out on a monthly basis to supplement your income?
Yes.
All right. How much are you pulling out?
Well, you know, it's sporadic. So probably about $20,000 a year.
All right. Yeah. And that should be very appropriate. I mean, you're under 4% a year that you're pulling out. You've been getting a decent interest rate. Those interest rates are headed down. And so I think, you know, to the extent you all are in good health, we need this money to last a long time. Your biggest, challenge is going to be the erosion of purchasing power through inflation. So, Mark, what are your thoughts for Teresa and her husband?
Yeah, Teresa, you know, the biggest thing, if you're moving from money market fund into other investments, we need to first address the asset allocation decision, how much in stocks, how much in bonds, before we start picking actual investment vehicles. The whole process can be kind of involved, and especially if you're wanting the biblical screening, that might be an argument for at least investigating working with an advisor who can kind of do all of these pieces for you, figure out the correct allocation, and then also give you some options as far as some good screened investments. Of course, as Rob always mentions, the Kingdom Advisors website is a great starting place for that, to find somebody in your area if you want to work with somebody. Otherwise, a service like Sound Mind Investing can help you with the first part of that, certainly figuring out what an appropriate portfolio is going to be. And then it would be a question of finding screened investment providers that you like and you like their approach. There are a number of them out there. Some of them are sponsors of the Faith5 program, so you could look through that list on the Faith5 website.
Yeah.
Those would be my general steps that I would encourage you to take. Rob, any thoughts?
Yeah,
on that?
I would agree with that. And I think, you know, even at age 70, and we didn't talk about your age, there's still a case to have anywhere between 30 and 40% in stocks with the rest in fixed income. I'd connect with a CKA on our website, TeresaFaithFi.com. Click Find a Professional. That's FaithFi.com. Click Find a Professional or SoundMindInvesting.org. We'll be right back.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Send joy to a child in need with Operation Christmas Child. Simply pack a shoebox with fun toys, school supplies, and hygiene items. Then bring it to a drop-off location during National Collection Week, now through Monday. You can also build a shoebox online. The best part is the good news of Jesus Christ is shared alongside your gift, and each child is given the opportunity to participate in a life-changing discipleship program. Visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Sandy Rios, AFA's Director of Governmental Affairs and the host of the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7. For 40 plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, Mark Biller. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. We're talking investing today, and specifically six bad investing habits you might want to consider leaving behind. They're very common, and they're really important if you want to be a successful long-term investor. By the way, if you want to read the entire article, just head over to soundmindinvesting.org and click on the link to the article. Go ahead, be a quitter. We'll get to a few more of those here in a moment. We're also taking your calls and questions on anything investing related today. Well, Mark Biller is here, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Mark, before the break, we were talking to Teresa, and you know, we were sharing that often, when, especially when you're on the sideline or just when it's time to invest, you know, having an advisor who can journey alongside you, especially one who shares your values and can bring a biblical worldview of money to the table in the context of competent and wise financial decisions, is really key. And that's why we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. More than 1,600 men and women across the country that have earned CKA, the only financial services industry designation for biblically wise financial advice. And we do have a filter there when you're searching for a list of CKAs in your city, if you want only those that have been especially trained and committed to providing faith-based advice, if that's important to you. But Mark, you know, I think for somebody in Teresa's position where they've been in cash, regardless of how they got there, she's got a, and her husband have a significant sum of money, $625,000 in essentially money market, it can be challenging to get back in because it just feels like such a daunting task. How do you counsel somebody through just the mechanics of that, even the psychological piece of it as well?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Rob, and you're exactly right. You know, we, SMI has been around for 35 years, so we've been through this with a lot of people over a number of really big bear markets, and after especially the 2000 to 2002 and then the 2008 financial crisis, we would hear from individuals for years after those saying, I went entirely to cash during the bear market, and now it's 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, even 5 years later, they're coming to us saying, I've been in cash this whole time and missed this bull market. Yeah. What do I do now? And so this is a real thing people struggle with, whether they're getting invested for the very first time or whether they've been invested and got scared into cash and have been in cash. It's really difficult. One of the things that we will do, so let me just say first off, Rob, when you're working with a professional, they are probably going to encourage you to invest more of the money more quickly. And the reason for that is all of the research lines up on the side of getting the money invested is almost always better than waiting and doing and putting money to work more slowly. But I will also add that from the newsletter side of our business, working with individuals for over three decades, that's the emotional hurdle that's so hard for people. And so what we will sometimes recommend for folks through the newsletter, if they're having trouble pulling the trigger and putting money to work in the markets, is simply take the amount of money that you have and break that into pieces. So maybe you break that into four pieces and invest a quarter of that each quarter, every 3 months. And at the end of a year, you'd be fully invested. Or you can really pick any interval that you want. Maybe you divide that into six pieces and invest 1/6 of that each month for the next 6 months. Whatever feels emotionally comfortable to you, again, we're not saying that you're going to get a better financial return from doing it that way, but it's going to be a whole lot easier on you emotionally if you know, okay, on the first of the month for the next 6 months, I'm putting X amount of money into these mutual funds that I've already picked. Once you kind of turn that into a formula or a recipe like that, that I've decided this is my plan to get reinvested, it's so much more easy emotionally to just follow that plan because it takes care of all these things that we've been talking about so far in the program. It takes care of, wow, we just had an escalation in the Ukraine war last night. Surely I can't put money to work today. Well, if you've already determined first of the month, $20,000 goes into this mutual fund, it's a whole lot easier to do it that way.
Oh, it makes so much sense. Thanks for sharing that. 800-525-7000, your questions for investing expert Mark Biller today to Alabama. Hi, Gary. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. West. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
I wanted to ask your guest, are you familiar with covered call strategy for portfolio income, buying stock and selling options against it?
Yeah, Mark,
I am.
Your thoughts?
Yep. Yeah, it is. I am familiar with it, Gary. So it's obviously a more complicated approach than what we generally are talking about on this program. But for listeners who aren't familiar, we're talking about when you already own a stock, you're actually selling options to generate income against the stock that you already own. And so by doing it that way, you're eliminating some of the risk of that going against you because, worst case, you have the stock that you can use to satisfy the terms of the options that you're selling to generate income. That strategy has been around for a long time because it tends to work. It tends to be a fairly reasonable conservative strategy if you really understand it and if you're willing to put in the work to keep up with it. I don't really have any negatives to say about that other than it tends to be more advanced and a little more time consuming for the typical investor. But if that's something that you like, Gary, and you're willing to put in the time and effort, I don't have bad things to say about it. Rob, what are your impressions?
Yeah, I would completely agree. I think that's a great explanation and often misunderstood aspect of investing. Does get more complicated, certainly more time consuming, but I don't have any issues with it either. Gary, I know we didn't get to a specific question that you perhaps have other than Mark's general thoughts. So stay on the line, and when we come back from the break, we'll let you follow up on what he shared and answer anything you have specific. Back with more after this. Stick around.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it
is
a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Mark Biller in the studio today. We're taking your calls and questions on investing-related topics at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We also have a couple more of those bad habits for investing that you need to quit that we'll share straight ahead. But first, before the break, we were talking to Gary. Gary is inquiring about, and I think has some experience in, what are called covered calls, which is essentially a more sophisticated trading strategy than we typically get into on this program. But it's essentially where an investor sells, or what they call writes, a call option on a stock they already own, and that generates income through the option premium with, you know, while they're limiting the potential upside gain if the stock price rises significantly. But you, another way to think about it is like renting out your stock, so to speak. Gary, I know we gave our general thoughts on that, but do you have some experience you want to share or any follow-up questions?
I'd like to share a little more. My experience with it is I've done it for about 10 years now. And from during the last administration, I'll just quickly expound. I gained about 90% on my money over 3 years. And it was now, not to say, you know, a disclaimer that don't try this at home. But, I had some experience leading into it and how to It's way better than just buy and hold, I figured. And I've been messing with mutual funds for a good period of time before I started this covered call business. But you explained it well, and I would just kind of maybe add, you're being paid to own the stock on a month-to-month basis. And you, like you said, you're renting out the stock. And a little piece to it that I found that no one ever told me, but I just decided to do it this way. Buy the stocks that offer up nice dividends. So you're owning the stock, you're getting a dividend, and you're getting a premium to own the stock. It's a well-rounded, and there's some risk, downside risk for sure. I'm not going to claim that there's not. But if you just, it's a sideways trade, and the market sometimes goes up and sometimes goes down, but overall, over 10 years, it goes pretty sideways to a little bit up. And that's what this trade strategy is. It's a little bit to side. It's a little bit up to sideways trade strategy. So yeah. I've just been successful with it. And
excellent. Well, Gary, we appreciate you sharing your perspective on that. It sounds like you've done well with it. And to Mark's point, we don't have a problem with it necessarily, as long as you understand it and you can put in the time. And clearly you've done that and been rewarded for it. Mark, any other perspective you might want to share before we move off of this topic?
No, I think that's great, Gary. And, you know, the big thing, options really, as you would assume from the name, options, they really do expand your range of things that you can do as an investor. A lot of times that comes with quite a bit of risk with options. They can really get people in trouble. But one of the things that I really like about the covered call strategy in particular is it's a way to use options without really taking on a lot of the risks that usually are present when someone starts dabbling in options in other ways, the ways people usually just either buy calls or puts. Those approaches, I think, are typically more dangerous for people, especially as they're learning about options, whereas covered calls is a relatively safe version of using options. I like the way Gary described it. You know, you're basically creating an income stream on top of the stocks that you already own, which is a really attractive combination.
Yeah, really helpful. All right, we're taking your calls and questions today, but Mark, we're also talking about these bad habits that folks need to let go of. We covered several of them. I'd love to hit on a few more. You know, as we talk about quitting, what else haven't we covered?
Yeah, well, a couple more would be one. We've actually covered quite a bit on this program already. Quit making things needlessly complicated. You know, most people don't need to read economic forecasts or annual reports of companies or do things like covered call strategies. Not that that's a bad thing to do, but most people don't need to make it that complicated. If they just choose solid investment options and hang on to them for a long period of time, that's usually 90% of the battle for most people. And then the next one I would add, Rob, is quit obsessing over short-term results. Yeah. You know, a lot of people would really be better off if they didn't even know what their short-term results are. So for most people, checking your portfolio every day is not a good idea. It just makes you impatient, produces big emotional swings, and it stimulates a lot of people to trade more often than they should. In other words, checking your results and obsessing over short-term results makes it harder to stay with a long-term plan.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, let's not focus on the short-term. Let's keep the long-term in mind for sure. All right, one more that we'll get to here in just a moment. But first, let's head back to the phones. West Virginia is where we're going next. Janet, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Hi there.
I have a question. My husband worked, and he had a 401k, the old ones. It was before they come out with the Roth ones. So we were kind of stuck in that one because it was close to retirement, so we didn't really have much chance to start a new one. So anyway, we've got this 401k. It's in Fidelity right now. It's around $130,000, and we are 66. And my question is, I know there has to be taxes paid when it comes out. With our age being like it is, and you never know when you pass, we want to go ahead and try to move it from that, although we like where it's at because it's grown quite a bit this year. But we need to pay the taxes. That way, should something happen to us, our kids don't have to worry about paying taxes on that money. What do I do?
Yeah, Mark, your thoughts. 66 years old, $130,000. Is this a good time to convert it to a Roth?
So one thing I would say about that, Janet, is you don't have to do that in one move. So you don't have to convert that whole amount all at once. And some people would say, well, why wouldn't I just do that? Well, the way the tax brackets work, a lot of times you can actually save a good amount of taxes by doing graduated or spreading out a Roth conversion like this over several years. And what you would want to do is figure out your income for the year and how much room you have left in the current tax bracket that you're paying tax at before your income would bump you up to a higher tax bracket. And you can convert in several pieces that allow you to stay in the lower tax brackets. I know that may sound a little confusing, and if you're working with someone on your taxes, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But doing kind of a graduated conversion can lead to paying less tax over time, because you're only converting a piece of the IRA each year, or a piece of the 401k into the Roth IRA each year. And this is, you know, this is one of those hidden value adds that a good advisor, or like I said, even a good CPA can help you with, a good tax preparer could help you figure out exactly how much to convert each year to minimize that tax bill. Rob, any thoughts?
Yeah. No, I like that a lot. I would say let's make sure we're really thoughtful about the tax implications of this before you do it, and probably not doing that all at one time makes the most sense. But connect with your advisor or certainly your CPA on that. There's a few other aspects of this that I'd like to talk about with Mark after the break. But Janet, thanks for your call today. I hope that was helpful. Back with our final segment with Mark Biller just after this. Don't go anywhere.
My name is Isabella, and I received my Operation Christmas Child shoebox shortly after the fall of the communist regime in Romania. During this difficult time in my life, this shoebox was a splash of color in my black and white world. You can make a difference in the life of a child by packing a shoebox through Operation Christmas Child. To learn more or to pack a shoebox gift online, visit SamaritanSpurs.org/OCC. That's SamaritanSpurs.org/OCC.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
Are you overwhelmed by financial fear and anxiety? At FaithFi, we hear it every day. People weighed down by worries related to wealth and money. But financial anxiety isn't about the size of your bank account. It's about the condition of your heart. That's why we've created Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional that'll help you find peace through Jesus' teachings. Request a copy of the Look at the Sparrows devotional today with your gift of $25 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're talking about six bad investing habits to quit with Mark Biller today. This all comes in their article, Go Ahead, Be a Quitter. You'll find it at soundmindinvesting.org. Mark, we've talked about quit looking for a reason to sell, quit making things needlessly complicated, quit obsessing over your short-term results. What is our final thing that we should quit doing today?
Yeah, the last one, Rob, is we really need to quit worrying. You know, and this one comes straight from the Apostle Paul, who tells us, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. So we need to honor God, apply his principles, trust in his sufficiency, give generously, and rest in his peace. And hopefully these things we've been talking about today will help listeners in their journey towards that goal.
Yeah. You know, I think Larry Burkett would often say, you know, the fear of loss is the greatest fear that many Christians have. And, you know, that fear is a spiritual trap because it leads to taking our eyes off the goodness of God, placing them on our present circumstances, or beginning to trust too much in the things of this world, which we know can be reduced to rubble in an instant. And ultimately, God is our sustainer and provider. He is our hope, and he is our abundance. And ultimately, he should be our treasure, right?
No, absolutely. And I think that also, you know, there's kind of a vague fear sometimes that Christians have too, of they really want to do the right thing. They want to be good stewards, and they feel like they don't really know how to go about that when it comes to money sometimes. And so that's, you know, why people like you and I have devoted ourselves and our careers to trying to help people understand a lot of these kind of basic principles of Christian stewardship and how to manage money from a God-honoring perspective and incorporate biblical wisdom. Because as we do that, not only do we do better with our money, but we get that huge dividend of peace. You know, when you know that you're doing the best you can and you're doing it with the right motives, it does help take a lot of the angst out of it, the anxiety out of the results that you get. Because to some degree, market results, investing results, they're out of our hands. You know, we don't control the markets. Yeah. But we can control our approach to the markets. And when we're doing that the way, as best we can, the way that the Lord has ordered for it to be done, then we can rest in His peace. And all of those promises in Scripture about the peace of God begin to pay dividends for us in our lives outside of finances, but also in our financial lives.
Mm, yeah, that's well said. By the way, our team just came out with this beautiful new 21-day devotional called Look at the Sparrows on Financial Fear and Anxiety. It gives you a way to start each day with a piece of scripture and a short devotional thought and a prayer and some scripture memorization just to renew your mind and really refocus yourself away from the fear and anxiety that you have on God's promises and God being our provider and sustainer. And if you'd like to pick up a copy today, you can go to faithfi.com/sparrows. Perhaps this would be a great gift for somebody in your life as well. Mark, I want to go back to the conversation we had about with Janet a moment ago, because I think a lot of folks are in this position. You know, Janet and her husband are sitting on about $130,000 in a traditional IRA or a traditional 401k. I'm not sure if they've rolled it out to an IRA, but thinking about converting it to a Roth. And I'd like to talk about just the decision making on that with regard to, does that make sense? You know, we know that the Roth is a very powerful tool, especially when you can get into it early and you've got a lot of time on your side because of that tax-free growth. But, you know, here in this season of life where they're in retirement, and especially in light of the election in the last couple of weeks, where we perhaps now have a little more clarity about a lower tax environment staying in place, at least beyond 2025, when the Trump tax cuts were expected to expire, on top of the fact that you have the qualified charitable distribution opportunity once you're 70, where you can get the money out without paying any tax if it goes straight to ministry. I'm just wondering about whether or not in this season it makes sense to stay in the traditional environment.
Yeah, those are great points, Rob. And one other one that I would add that really should be at the beginning of any traditional to Roth conversion conversation is whether a person has outside funds to pay those taxes with, as opposed to having to take money out of the account to pay the taxes. Yeah. That is almost always an immediate, you know, flip question for me. If someone has outside money to pay the taxes, well, then we can continue the discussion of whether it makes sense to convert. But if you're actually going to be pulling money out of the 401k or IRA to pay the taxes, then I really am much less enthusiastic about that. To your broader point, though, Rob, you're right. The tax picture is shifting with the Trump win. It does seem like these lower individual tax rates will be in place longer. That does take some of the urgency out of this decision. A lot of people thought that these tax rates would revert to the higher thresholds of several years ago before the Trump tax cuts from his first administration. So that is a good thing. There, as always, there are a lot of factors. So like you mentioned, the charitable distribution option for someone who is giving regularly to ministry, that is a great way to avoid paying tax out of the IRA down the road by making those distributions straight from the IRA to a charity through what's called the QCD distribution rules. So there are a lot of factors there, and that's why, if possible, I love to have somebody work with someone who can run this through some kind of software. We haven't even talked about how converting can actually raise your income in a way that can affect your Medicare premiums. Mm. So not to make it even more complicated,
yeah,
but there are just a lot of pieces to think about, which is why it's wonderful if you do have an advisor or an accountant to work with on these decisions. They can really give you some insights that may not be obvious otherwise.
Yeah, you got to watch out for Irma. That's not your long-lost relative. That's your income-related monthly adjustment amount, right?
Right. That's right. That's right. So, and, you know, some of these things people don't even know to look out for. You know,
yeah,
it catches them off guard. So
that's well said. Mark, yep, let's talk about the other end of the spectrum, and then we'll start to tie a bow on this today. What about that person who's younger, maybe they're in their 30s or 40s, a lot of working years still ahead, and they have the option of both the traditional and the Roth? I know in months past, you and I have talked about even some research that was done around a formula to determine what percent should go into the Roth versus the traditional, if you want to have both accounts working for you, just because of some of the uncertainties around the tax code and other considerations, you know, 30 years down the road. How do you help folks determine how to split that money, if that's a good idea at all?
Yeah, for young people, I still think that Roth almost always is the way to go. As somebody gets into middle age and their peak earning years, I think it gets a little more muddy, and that's where you know, we actually have some articles on our website that I would refer people to, because it's a little more complicated usually than just a real simple rule of thumb. And then as we're talking about for someone close to retirement or in retirement, then it's much less clear that the Roth is going to be a long-term advantage. But for young folks, like you asked about, I think that the Roth is pretty safely the clear option for folks in their 20s and 30s. Certainly, as you get into your 40s and 50s, now we have a little bit more to talk about splitting and the advantages of diversifying your tax picture by having some money in both camps.
Yeah, very good. Well, Mark, we always appreciate our time with you today. Folks, if you want to check out this article, again, it's called Go Ahead, Be a Quitter. You'll find it at soundmindinvesting.org. Also, a lot of our listeners have found real value in the Sound Mind Investing newsletter and website, just to help them make those decisions on a systematic basis for which investments or mutual funds to put in your portfolio. If you want to keep control over it, but you want somebody providing that wise counsel and rules-based decision-making process, SMI has been doing that for a long, long time, going all the way back to Larry Burkett and Austin Pryor, their founder. But Mark, we appreciate you stopping by today, sir.
Thanks, Rob. It's always a joy to be with you.
All right. That's Mark Biller. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. Again, learn more at soundmindinvesting.org. Well, folks, before we wrap up today, two quick things I want to remind you of. These are some actions to take. So just stop what you're doing just for a second, because I got two things I need you to do. Number one, this is Operation Christmas Child National Collection Week. That's right. You can share the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. You can get all of the details on what to put in your shoebox and where to drop it off at SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. You can learn all the details there on that website. Second action item here at as we head toward the end of the year, we're trying to close the gap on our listener support here at FaithFi to bring you this broadcast and all of the ministry options we bring to you every day. And some generous donors have come in with $150,000 that they're going to release dollar for dollar as money is given by listeners between now and 12/31. Up to $150,000. So if you would make a gift now, your gift will be doubled. Any amount. We're going to need gifts large and small. And if there's a few that could do $1,000 or a $3,000 gift, that would really help us get to where we need to go. Just go to faithfi.com and click give. That's faithfi.com and click give. Big thanks to my team today, Sandy, Devin, Jim, Taylor. Couldn't do it without them. Thanks for being here with us. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.